transformation, we're on number 17, which works. And the place of that is fire in the gathering and removing the stumbling blocks so that we'll be ready for what's to come. We're singing today about the shaking of the world system. And we know God won't be moved when those things are shaken. But the question is, will we be moved? Because actually the world will be looking for a people who aren't moved when things start to fall apart and shake in the world. That's why we need to be ready, so that we can be the people who demonstrate that. Transformation, we've been looking at that. Romans 12, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice. And that presenting is what enables us to enter into the presence of God. We were singing also today in that song about pursuit, about the veils, the veil or the veils of heaven that when we present ourselves we can have access to. Also, we were singing in that song about strip everything away. That's what God does, strips everything away so that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus and not conform to this world. So when we sing songs like that, they're very much based in what the Word of God says. The ultimate aim is so that we will know what the will of God is for our life. And we will be able to fulfill that will and that purpose for us. The word transfigured is the same word as the word transformed. Exactly the same, metamorphosis, metamorpheo. Matthew 17:2, talking about Jesus. He was transfigured, or metamorphosed, before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. So it isn't just our spirit that gets transformed at salvation, and our soul that gets transformed, but actually our whole body can be transformed. We've been looking at that, different levels of transformation, and we've got down to now looking at dividing or separating the bone and marrow at the very genetic level, the deepest level of transformation that you can get. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. God wants us to be sons and daughters. But, next verse, in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So God has taken us on this process of transformation so that we can actually be sons and daughters. Not just in theory be sons and daughters, but actually be joint heirs with Christ to all the fulfillment of the promises of God in the kingdom of God. But there's a process. That's what DNA looks like. Sort of. The representation of it. DNA are the building blocks of our life. That's what we're built with. And I'm going to give you some interesting facts about DNA, and then we're going to look at what that means for us. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. Anyone know that? Yay! Remember that from your biology lessons at school? The structure of the DNA is like a twisted ladder, or a double helix, technically. The rungs of the ladder are made up of bases. There are approximately 3 billion chemical letters, otherwise known as bases, in the DNA code of every cell in our body. A lot, you might say. If unwound and tied together, the strands of DNA in one cell would stretch almost 6 foot, but would only be a 50 trillionth of an inch wide. So it's pretty small. If all the DNA in your body was put end to end, it would reach to the sun and back over 600 times. So there's a lot of it. It would take a person typing 60 words per minute, 8 hours a day, around 50 years to type the human genome. And that all gets put into us when we get born, when we get conceived. If all 3 billion letters in the human genome were stacked 1 millimeter apart, they would reach the height of 7,000 times the Empire State Building. I wonder who worked all this stuff out. The internet is a wonderful resource. Our entire DNA sequence would fill 200 1,000 telephone directories, paid telephone directories. So there's a lot of information that's coded in our lives. Humans have roughly 100 trillion cells in their body. Each of those cells has DNA. Chromosomal or nuclear DNA is found in the nucleus of our cell, and that's the stuff that makes us who we are. Humans have 46 chromosomes. So DNA, chromosomes, genes, how do they all work? Well, sections of DNA that code for proteins are called genes. Not the type that I'm wearing, but genes, the complete set of genetic information for an organism. There are 20,000 to 25,000 genes, and that's what's called the genome. I'll give you some terms. The genes are pieces of DNA passed from parent to offspring in their chromosomes that contain hereditary information. So that's why we look like we are, that's why we are in our appearance and what's on the inside of us is where we are, because of what comes from that information that tells our body and our cells what to produce when we're conceived. On average, each chromosome has 65 million DNA molecules. Between the genes are lengths of chromosome that there are long stretches of DNA which had no known function until recently. I was preaching on what that function might be about 3 years ago, and I've discovered recently they're now actually agreeing with me. A chromosome contains about 1,000 genes. Humans have approximately 30,000 different genes spread over the 46 chromosomes that we've got. So a lot of information. Our 46 chromosomes are arranged in 23 pairs. We inherit one copy of the pair from our mum and one from our dad. Identical twins share 100% of their genes. Siblings share 50% of their genes. Now, when you look at genetic information and whether twins have genetic things that code, there's some really interesting studies you can find on the internet. There was one set of twins that the guy, but boys, that were separated at birth and didn't know they actually had another twin. And they discovered that when they looked at their lives 50 odd years later, they had married the same person with the same name, they had the same type of job, they lived in the same type of community, and there were about 100 facts that were identical about their life, and they'd never met one another. That can only come from the fact that there are certain things that are coded within our genetic material that causes us to behave and have things of needs that are at work. Some of those things are good, some of them may not be so good. A parent and a child share 50% of their genes. You get half your genes from your mum, half from your dad, just as they got half each from their parents, back and back, generation upon generation. So you have stuff which carries the record right back from the first human being. You have to, because that's where it came from and it got passed on. So we all carry things as a record in our DNA which actually shapes and affects our lives. Therefore, it's important to understand it. Only 2% of our DNA is coded, and the 98% was considered junk or alien DNA. Not alien as in outer space, just alien as in they didn't know what it was for, because they couldn't figure out what it was for. They didn't understand. Now they do. The DNA is not only responsible for the construction of our body, but also it serves as data storage and in communication, because it can store masses of information. In CERN, you know that CERN is the place in Switzerland, and Geneva, I think, where they have this great atom smasher, and they're finding the particles within the subatomic particles. Like, they have 100 huge tape machines that store petabytes of information. Now, we've heard of megabytes and gigabytes and terabytes. Petabytes are 10 to the 15th. That's 10 to 15 north worth of information. And they've got these massive tapes that store all that information. All that could be stored on 41 grams of DNA. Because it contains a massive amount of storage. Our cells have memory storage ability. And actually our cells can have memory of things that happen to us that get stored. Russian scientists found that the genetic code, especially in that 98% junk DNA, follows the same rules as our human languages. So they looked at it and compared the rules of syntax, the way in which words are put together to form phrases and sentences, and semantics, the study of the meaning of language forms, and the basic rules of grammar, and they found that there seemed to be a written coded language within that thing. Now, the Russians decided to investigate this. The other Western scientists decided that they could do this mechanically, so they could splice bits of information in genes into other genes. But the Russians looked at it in a different way. They found by exposing DNA to sound frequency patterns on a laser beam, they could actually influence the DNA sequence and the frequency and change the information. So they could re-sequence DNA by playing certain musical and frequency sounds on a laser. And they actually found that all living DNA substances will react to language programmed on modulated laser waves. Even radio waves, if they use the right frequencies, can change your DNA, which has implications. So, by applying sound vibration and language through light, the human body can be reprogrammed by language, thoughts, and words. Now, actually, that has an implication for us. Therefore, depression and grief and sadness and anger and negativity and unforgiveness can actually program our DNA to produce sickness and disease in ourselves. And that's basically, if you talk to medics, they will tell you that the way you think and the way you feel affects your physical life. And actually, certain diseases can be triggered by the way we feel and what we say and think. Praise, joy, peace, forgiveness can program our DNA to produce healing, health, and wholeness. Amen. Who wants that? So it's really important where we think, feel, and speak. So we really need to get hold of that. So therefore, healing, anointed prayer, the laying on of hands, can release frequencies that can repair, store, and reprogram our DNA. Healing, sound frequencies applied can resequence those patterns of DNA. So what sort of sound can we apply? We can speak words of faith, the words of Jesus, the words of the Bible, the words. We can also play sound. People can get healed during worship services as the sounds of heaven are released. We can actually touch them at a genetic level and transform and bring healing. We call it a miracle because we don't know how it happened. But actually it happens, that can happen at a very definite DNA level. When we lay hands on people, quite often they resonate with vibrating power. How many people's hands vibrate sometimes when they pray to people? Yeah, quite a few. How many people get hot hands when they pray? Yeah. That is because at a very fundamental level, what's going on within us actually is agreeing with God and producing anointing to bring healing. We can apply faith words to change and call things back into wholeness. What do I mean? Well, matter is never destroyed. It just changes form. When you burn something, it changes into ash and smoke goes up into the atmosphere. It's always up there somewhere. Maybe spread out over a long distance, but it's still there. So it still exists, just in another form. So it is possible to call things back into existence that once existed. Like lost limbs. Someone's lost a limb, it is possible. Where is that limb? Well, it got probably burnt and cremated or stuck in the ground somewhere. Therefore, it still exists. Maybe in a different form, but it's possible to call back into existence things that existed. Like lost hair. The guys who want their hair restored. Actually, I've heard of people who call back people's lost hair and they start to grow again. Because actually, it still exists somewhere. Down the plug hole somewhere, probably. Any of you about to clean out the drain? No, I'm not going there. But actually, we can direct things to change form. Jesus turned water into wine, didn't he? Well, how did he do that? Well, it was a miracle, but Jesus understood the whole revelation of quantum mechanics, and he understood what went on at a DNA level, and therefore he could speak to something and change its genetics and form, actual physical form. So we can do the same. And I know people, and there are testimonies you can find, that they speak to tumors and tell them to change form and to dissipate. Actually, there are testimonies where people speak to fat and tell it to dissipate and change form and disappear. And people have lost up to 60 pounds in Christian meetings of weight. So they've gone up holding up their pants because they couldn't Keep them up. I'm not joking. That is seriously, I could give you the testimonies where that's happened. But you need to speak words of faith. You have to, your words and God's words need to resonate together to produce that. Healing power. This is what God told me when I encountered him in heaven one day about what happened in this thing. He said, if you mix the grace of God, which is the divine enabling strings of power which exist in all of the fabric of creation, if you mix that with faith-filled words of agreement with God, you can produce an anointed charge of power, change something. That's what we call a miracle. You can change something in the physical nature of our existence because we mix the power of God and faith together to produce that change. We need to resonate at the frequency that can change things at a DNA genetic level. Now this really means something when it affects how we feel and how we think and how we act, we can change it. So in that 98% of uncoded DNA sequences, they contain latent switches that are waiting to be triggered. This is what I was preaching a few years ago. Actually, within those sequences, there are things which can reprogram and resequence our DNA and switch things on and off. They've actually discovered that that's true. What triggers those things? Well, nurture triggers those things. How we're actually brought up. Trauma triggers those things. Traumatic events can actually have a dramatic effect on our life. Now, our environment can trigger those things. Sin can trigger those things. So it's really important that we understand this so we can actually deal with it in our life. Generational behavior. Christians who have generational history of standards, morals, guidance based on love and the word of God can program somebody's DNA to have those behaviors operating. Non-Christians who act on instinct based on self-protection, self-preservation, and self-gratification can also program things in. What do we want to pass on to our children? Now, I did this case study a while ago, and I want to repeat it here, because this shows that these things happen at a genetic level. A case study of 19th century families, two families, Matt Dukes and Jonathan Edwards. Matt Dukes was an atheist who married an unbeliever and they traced 560 descendants. 310 died as paupers, 150 were criminals, 7 were murderers, there were 100 drunkards, more than half the women were prostitutes. The cost to society was minimal. Cost a lot of, and even that's back in those days. Now, why did those families behave in such a way? Was it just that they had role model, or was it something deeper? Programmed at a genetic level to produce behavior. Because this is what was Jonathan Edwards, a revivalist, married a believer, and they traced 1,394 descendants. Notice, more descendants they could trace. Because actually, they were more fruitful. 295 graduated college, 13 became college presidents, 65 professors, 3 senators, 3 governors, many ambassadors, 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 56 doctors, 75 Army or Navy officers, 80 held public office, 3 mayors, head of the US Treasury official, and the Vice President. Cost to society, 0. Contribution to society, immeasurable. Where did that come from? I would say that it came from a programming within the very genetic material of people over generations. So look at our lives and look how we behave, how we feel, how we think, how we act. And you may have a clue of what some of the stuff is within our genetic material. Now, nurture and nature, etc., can trigger those genetic switches to turn on and off certain genes. So there may be a predisposition to certain things. For instance, disease. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, liver, kidney disease. And you can ask a doctor and they will tell you that certain things run in families. Well, where does it run in families? Within the DNA. Why do some people get it in families and some people don't get it in families? Because some of it is triggered and some of it isn't triggered. But I don't want any time bombs sat in my DNA waiting to go off, do you? So I want them transformed and changed. mental health and depression has been found to run in families. Now, that could have a spiritual dimension, religious spirits and things, but actually it can also have a genetic dimension. Addictions, alcohol, chemicals, food, and sexual addiction can be within DNA. Behaviors, sexuality, criminality, religious behaviors, and occult behaviors can be within our DNA. So those genetic factors are waiting for triggers, are not an excuse to license. So, well, actually, it's not my fault, it's in my DNA, therefore I can't help it. We're all responsible for our behavior. We may have things that predispose us to certain behavior patterns and ways of thinking and behavior, but actually we can do something about it. It's called repentance. We can all repent and change and be transformed. God always makes a way out to escape from our past. God desires to transform our lives. The question is, will we cooperate with him and allow him to do it? When we were singing earlier about transformation and stripping things away, that's what we're asking God to do. Take away all the things in our lives which will lead us to living a life which is not representative of God, but comes from our past. There is a solution. To be transformed from those genetic factors. To be conformed to the image and DNA of God. The transforming process. To be restored to wholeness. We can do that through the power of encountering God's DNA in communion. We're going to look at that next week. The power of encountering the very breath and life of God that wants to speak into us to transform and to change us. Now, in that 98% of DNA, that 20% of it contains triggers and switches to turn on and off genes, functions, and abilities. So there are certain things there which you can turn and off. Are the triggers for godlike latent abilities or other supernatural abilities contained within our DNA? I believe they are. Therefore, there are some things that God can do when we surrender to him that can turn on certain abilities that have been lost. Now, you can call them mutations, or they could be revelations. Now, in science fiction, they say, well, people mutate and they turn into something else. I believe there are things within our DNA that God wants to turn on, to give us back the abilities that Adam had before the fall. But we have to be willing to allow God to do it. The enemy will counterfeit real abilities that Jesus had, called the occult. And there are things which people can do, like astral projection and spiritual healing and all sorts of things which counterfeit what Jesus did and is real. Jesus passed through people and became invisible. And you think, where did he do that? Ask me and I'll tell you. It's in John and other parts of the Bible. But there's lots of things at the moment on TV that talk about supernatural abilities. Alphas. A TV program which talks about people having empathic and ESP, extrasensory perception. Be able to see things. Heroes. I love that TV series, Four Heroes. People flew, had invisibility, teleport, all sorts of abilities. Awesome stuff. Superheroes. I watched yesterday, I was watching The Avengers Assemble, which is a pretty awesome film. 3D. It's great. And I was watching it, and actually I was thinking as I was watching it, actually, all these guys actually come from manipulating things. Remember I talked about Grimm technologies? Technologies where technology is implanted into people. There's a whole program to produce transhumans. I was watching this stuff and I thought, where's Iron Man? It's like, there's a guy, he's got this stuff implanted in his chest. Then you've got another guy there, the Hulk, who actually had exposure to radiation, looking at some serum to produce a super soldier. Really interesting stuff. Still going on today, by the way. Then you had another guy there, Thor, who actually comes from another dimension. Really interesting. Very interesting stuff. But the reality is, some of these things are because there are abilities available that Jesus had that he wants us to have. Some of those things can be triggered by our engagement with him. Mutants, the X-Men. Telepathy, X-ray vision, telekinesis, being able to move things. Who knows some of this stuff? I want to encourage you to think, what does God want me to be? Who am I created to be? What was my eternal destiny? Some of these things, although they're science fiction, actually have basis in fact. The occult people are very happy to demonstrate those things, actually most Christians lag behind because we're saying, well, no, we can't have anything to do with that. Why? I want to do everything Jesus did. And if Jesus was able to materialize and move from one thing place to another, I want to do that. If Jesus was able to disappear in front of someone's midst, I want to do that. If Jesus was able to walk on water, turn water into wine, multiply food, and do miracles, I want to do it. Because Jesus said in John 4:12 that we would also do the things that he did, and even greater things. What are some of the greater things? You know, Jesus levitated into the air when he went back into heaven. Levitation, dodgy stuff. Yeah, it is when it's done by occult practices. It wouldn't be great if I just took off on the floor like that. Freak you right out, wouldn't it? And the reality is, there may be need for some of those abilities in some of the things that are coming. Because God wants us to be able to do the things that Jesus did and greater things. Quantum abilities, matter manipulation. Jesus manipulated matter and turned water into wine. As an example. So, what does he want us to turn things into? Or not into? Think about it. Transcendental vision. I believe that Adam could see more than we could see with our natural eye. Adam lost the bandwidth of perception because he was able to see into the realm of heaven. At the flood, there was even more bandwidth was lost, and you'll find that that's why the rainbow formed with only 7 colors, because there are more colors than 7. There are more bandwidth. Even at the Tower of Babel, God came down and confused and took away abilities to move things with sound. If, Ian Clayton likes this illustration, 7 keys of the piano are the 7 spectrums of light that we can see. Red, orange, whatever it is, green, yellow, blue, indigo, violet. That would be 7 keys. But all the spectrum of light that there exists in this dimensional realm, all those bandwidths, if they were on a key, the whole keyboard would stretch to the moon. So we can only see a very small proportion of what there is. So the spiritual realm and other realms may well be in a bandwidth we just can't see. But I believe Adam could see it, and he wants us to see it. And there's an awful lot going from 10 to the 24 to 10 to the naught, which is a big difference, 10 to 24 naught. That is in terms of frequency ranges that you can see. We can only see a tiny little bit. I believe God wants to restore something. So, finishing up. DNA, another Ian Claytonism, divine nature assimilated. God wants us to be like him. We're supposed to be like him. Revealed nature achieved. God wants us to be revealed as his sons. Romans 9:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. God has always wanted us from eternity to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now that does not just mean the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. It means everything that Jesus had at a genetic level, because we become joint heirs with him in authority and power, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, many people like him. And these whom he called, he also called. Those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. There's a process. Being called, justified, and then glorified. Now I want to expand your understanding of glorification. It's not just one day we will go to heaven. Being glorified means transformed into the glorification of the image of Jesus. That's what can take place through communion. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the levels of transformation that needs to take place. Soul and spirit stripping away. When we're singing, strip everything away, we're asking him to strip away the layers that we've built up in our soul to protect ourselves and to keep our lives together. But we need to strip that away. Thoughts and intentions of the heart, everything on the inside needs to be stripped away. Joints and marrow, the DNA, needs to be stripped away because God wants to restore us to wholeness. In fact, Acts 3:20 says Jesus will not return until the restoration has happened everything. So I believe God wants to restore us back to original condition before sin. Therefore, the stuff that Adam had, I won. It should have been part of my DNA, but never got passed on to me properly. It's hidden, I believe, within the record of my DNA from Adam, but needs triggering. It needs triggering by an encounter with the living God and a transformation process in heaven. Restoration means nothing missing and nothing broken. I don't want anything missing. Do you want something missing in your life that God intends you to have? No, we don't really. We're just now seeing there's a whole load more God wants us to have than we first thought. In Strong's Dictionary, the word iniquity talks about things there, and it literally talks about genetic changes that are passed on from generation to generation. I do not want those negative things. So in our bloodline and our seed line, iniquity enables the enemy to negatively influence our lives. What is in my DNA waiting to be triggered and switched off negatively? Ask God to show you. Does my DNA explain why I have predisposition to certain patterns of behavior, drawings, and leanings? When I ask God to show me, that's where I started. Show me what in my life comes from my genetic material rather than just spiritual things or other things. And he started to show me. I didn't really like what he saw, what I saw. Because I asked him to search my heart. You see, if there's sickness or disease waiting to be triggered, I want that transformed. If there are patterns of sin and bondage in my life, I want them transformed. If there are weaknesses in my life, I want them transformed. If there are seed influences that may have come through pain and that genetic influence, I do not want that. If there are Nephilim seed influences, I do not want that. I don't want familiar and familiar spirits attached to the genetic thing to turbocharge that in my life. I want to be whole. I don't want any supernatural ability blocked. I imagine you don't want supernatural abilities blocked either. So we need to surrender to this process. What do you do? This is what you do. Psalm 139. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. We need to see the power of God's DNA transform us. We sang earlier about giving him our heart. Now, this is what this whole process is about. Saying, God, have my whole life, my heart, everything, and transform me and change me into the image of Jesus.